Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
On 1.5 UMFM, this is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Olson, kicking things off for us tonight. Benny Trocan with a great new single out on Daptone Records called It's Time. Or rather, it's on Daptone subsidiary Wick Records. Trocan is a member of Spoon, but this is some solo stuff and a little different. There's roots of Spoon in it. You can kind of get a sense of it. Anyway, we're going to keep it on the funky tip for my next track, but tonight's guests are pretty diverse. We have Sam Brooks, who came into the studio earlier this week to perform a live session. He's in town to play Cornstalk. That's happening on Sunday. I'll link to show tickets in the show notes. And then next Thursday at the Albert, Wax Mannequin coming to town for the first time in quite a while. We will get into those interviews. But first, Leonie Gray, with OMG off of her EP Selfish. This came out a little earlier this summer out of Montreal. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I stayed into the blue, the darkest shade of you, my love. You saw me growing up and crumble underneath the table.
Block Party will be rocking downtown Winnipeg again this summer, featuring Blue Rodeo with Skydiggers, Arkells and guests July Toth, Headstones with I, Mother Earth, Tom Cochran with Streetheart and Sass Jordan, and so much more. Join the party downtown for the best outdoor concerts of the summer. Daily tickets and four-day passes on sale now at Ticketmaster. For more info, visit BurtBlockParty.ca.
This song is called Little Light.
There is a feeling that I just can't shake. When I wake, it's waiting for me. Too many lost ungrounded nights. Is this a fight I'm losing? I'm so tired, will you take me home? Lost in a mind I'm amazed that I own. Make me a killer, make me quick. Well, hello to the darkness, hello to the feeling, hello little light of mine. Thank you. forgotten song, the phantom post, the empty seats within me. She calls to me from an ancient stone, tectonic shift. Where's my love? I'm so tired, won't you take me home? Lost in a mind, I'm amazed that I own. Make me a killer, make me quick. Well, hello to the darkness, hello to the feeling, hello, little light of mine. Little light of mine. Oh. I'm so tired, won't you take me home? Lost in a mind, I'm amazed that I own. Make me a killer, make me quick. Well, hello to the darkness, hello. I'm so tired, won't you take me home? Lost in a mind, I'm amazed that I own. Make me a killer, make me quick. Well, hello to the darkness, hello to the feeling, hello.
Okay, this is called Crazy World and You.
Countryside, out in the countryside. Out in the countryside. Out in the countryside.
Tune. Okay, so this song is called 18 and Sleeping.
The lines they read of a passing phase. Do we not grow up and out of these ways? A monster comes to change my view, but I know this place as I know you. Eyes heavy under a cloud, slowly moving in. With another face I'm pulling on, until the panic wave dark crashes home. Time, time, would you be a friend of mine? Come pull me out of this waiting line. Said not that sick doctor, see me quick. 18 sleeping through the day. Black little heavyweight, just hanging there on my chest. Advice I am quick to send to the parting way of an old friend. Time, time, would you be a friend of mine? Come pull me out of this waiting line. Said not that sick doctor, see me quick. Thank you. time, time, would you be a friend of mine? Come pull me out of this waiting line. Said I'm not that sick, doctor, see me quick. I'm 18, sleeping through the day. I'm 18, sleeping my life away.
Cool. One more then. Yeah? Okay, so this is my last song, and this is going to be called You Make Me Feel.
Sam Brooks in the studio just played a couple live songs for us. Over here to play Cornstalk.
Cornstalk, indeed, yes.
So how did you get involved with Cornstalk?
Well, through a chap called Josh Geffen in the UK. Yeah, he was friends with Gary. And I met Josh many years ago in London. He was actually part of a choir part of a sea shanty choir.
Oh, really?
If you're familiar with sea shanties.
Yeah, I'm familiar with sea shanties.
Sea shanties?
Yeah, I can't say it by the seashore, but I'm at least familiar with the genre. Did you grow up doing sea shanties? Or
well, I grew up with a lot of Celtic music, for sure. You know, like my dad was really into the 60s folk revival and all that was kind of influencing that around the time. So a lot of Celtic sort of traditional folk stuff.
Trad.
Yeah, trad stuff. And we spent a lot of time over in... over in Ireland when I was a kid, and like just being in pubs and people getting up and singing songs, you know, and that is definitely kind of what influenced me from an early age, you know, that just that kind of, I think also the fact that in that environment, music really binds people and brings people together, a kind of sense of harmony all around sort of music.
So was it the like binding connection within your family, like with your dad, and seeing kind of that was something that your dad responded to, so it was something you responded to, or was it seeing like the wider kind of like filial network that humanity has when it comes to music?
Both.
Yeah,
definitely both, because so my dad played guitar and he sung, and my mum sung. And you know, when things weren't always so great at home when I was a kid, music was the thing that, you know, would bind us together, and like we would sing in harmony for like from a very sort of early age. And so music is always, and writing and playing with other musicians and being around music has always felt like home wherever I am, you know. So yeah, that was a very strong kind of feeling from a young age.
So the trad thing, I mean, kind of works out of like a common songbook, or, you know, something that like are universal songs that everyone knows. At what point do you start kind of making your own material, right? Like that, like,
yeah.
It's one thing to like be an accomplished performer, like if you're in a fiddle player who just knows all of the kind of the great trad tunes and stuff. But like at a certain point, if you're writing your own material, like at what point do you kind of reach out and think, this is something I can express in my own words?
Yes. Well, I think, I mean, for me, writing songs, no, it was weird. I was actually chatting to somebody yesterday about this, about the fact that I never set out to be a songwriter. There was just music around, and my dad didn't write songs. My mum didn't write songs. They would just sing other people's tunes, or, you know. But I was drawn to the guitar, and I started singing about my feelings. It was definitely a very sort of therapeutic process for me to kind of just sort of lay it all out, you know, a bit like journaling, really, you know, that kind of thing. And then I had opportunities when I was a kid, whether it be kind of in a folk session, just to kind of, you know, the little kid that's kind of got something to perform or whatever, you know, it's like, hey, go and play your song.
Right.
I guess in that environment, it's a very welcoming environment. It's not a sort of judgmental thing. If somebody's got something they want to say, and it's coming from their heart, usually with folk music, then, you know, there's space for that kind of thing.
Right. It doesn't take like a lot of nudging to be brave in a situation like that, where it's like welcoming.
Yes. Although I was really nervous.
Right.
You know, and I was so nervous when I was a kid getting up in front of, you know, and sort of singing, I guess, my feelings, you know, in front of people that weren't, you're not under the, you're not in the kind of the safe zone of somebody else's music.
Yeah.
You know, that really helped me as well, like learning other people's songs when I was younger, for sure.
When you say it helped you, like understanding song structure or like expressing emotion?
I think expressing emotion, because I think obviously there were certain songs that I was connecting with, and, you know, that were probably way beyond my years. Like I remember making my dad cry singing Cat Stevens' Father and Son, you know, and sort of like, you know, having my eyes closed and singing away and then opening my eyes and he's like, tears are streaming down his face, and he's probably thinking, how is this kind of young kid? And I've experienced that with my niece and nephew as well, when they've kind of done performances and singing Etta James.
At Last? Or?
At Last, yeah, exactly. You know, somebody of like 10 years old singing At Last and all those lyrics. And it's quite moving.
Right. So I realized we kind of like lost the plot about how you got involved with Gary, which I'm happy to like talk about kind of the genesis of like you as a performer. But you mentioned that, so Josh was in a sea shanty group.
That's right. Yes. Well, we did divert, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. That's okay.
Yeah, he was in a sea shanty group, and I was in a three part harmony folk group that were singing sea shanties and sea ballads and that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize that Josh was writing his own music. I don't think he'd released anything by that point. Anyway, he's been involved with Gary for many years, and Gary's helped him with his career. And then a few years ago, Josh played Gary my tunes and said, you should really check out Sam's stuff. And then last year, Gary got in touch and said, hey, can you come and play Cornstalk, which obviously celebrates his birthday and stuff. Mm-hmm. So here I am. I've never been to Canada before. So
it's the first trip.
This is my first trip, yeah.
Do you play all around the UK? Like, because obviously, I mean, there is a folk scene there. I know, like, I lived in Dublin for a year. Like, obviously, okay. Like, I would say a very appreciative audience. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a more attentive audience compared to, like, the bar scene here where
yeah.
people are kind of talking over you and stuff okay. like that. you've yet to obviously play here, and you're going to a specific event that's designed centered around the music.
Mm.
But in terms of like your experience performing live in the UK, like, do you feel like you have an understanding of kind of like what you're getting into coming here? Or?
I don't know what I'm getting into, to be honest here. I mean, wow. No, no. I think in the UK, it's funny one. So I started off in the kind of folk scene, yeah. But really I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer songwriter. And, that can kind of put you, depending on the kind of material you make, I've sort of straddled that Americana, pop, more traditional folk kind of scene. And so I perform under my own name, Sam Brooks, yeah. but then I've also just recently made an album, which was supposed to be my fourth solo record, but the feelings that I was having about this record were quite different to any record that I've made before. And so I decided to put a band together and put it under a different project name, which is called Superlung.
Was that just like because sonically it was different, so it didn't feel like a Sam Brooks thing, or that you wanted to kind of straddle, like move aside from what you've been doing and like mark that as being decidedly different?
Yeah, it was emotionally different for me. It was kind of like almost kind of not to sound like a, you know, it was kind of philosophically different. Like when I was writing songs up until that point, it was very introspective, and I felt like I was kind of creating a stage sort of in my mind, and I would invite one person to come in and experience that song, that feeling with me. Mm. But with this record, it was very much more an outward feeling. Like I could see a crowd of people, and I wanted everyone to kind of connect with what I was feeling, if that makes sense.
So it sounds like in terms of you picture an audience as a songwriter, or at least like maybe a one-to-one, like here's my listener, and then maybe this one felt more expansive?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't, when I'm writing songs, I don't think about necessarily the audience for it, but it was more that, you know, I concentrate on the feeling, and then once that is kind of there, it's like, okay, what are you going to do with this? You know, like, and so to give you a bit of context, my third album that I released, Black Feathers, was all about grief. I went through many sort of different things in my life. I lost my father, went through a big breakup, and I lost a dear friend of mine through suicide. Mm. And it was a heavy time. And I channeled all of that into this record. And then sort of 2 years went by, and then I fell in love and had all of these kind of, you know, kind of phoenix from the ashes kind of feelings, really, of like, wow, I'm really connecting to all of myself, really. I felt like I went quite deep and within myself to realize, to kind of sort of lengthen the spectrum of what I could feel in my life, really. The when you do feel those sort of real lows, actually when you feel those highs, it's quite a distance to travel, you know. And that's what I was feeling with this record, these kind of feelings of love and joy and connectedness to where I was in my life.
So sharing that,
yeah,
bigger feeling,
yeah.
Do you have an immediacy when it comes to songwriting? Like, do you have to be kind of tapped into the like feeling that you're writing about to write about it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I do try and write as much as I can, whether it be like a little guitar riff here or, but I feel like the songs that have got onto records and stood the test of my time have been the ones that have been, they've kind of come crashing through the door with a big feeling saying it's you need to write this right now.
When it comes to like, so an album like Black Feathers, like you said, written from a place of grief, obviously then you're processing that grief and writing and creating the record. Revisiting those songs, are you like forced to tap into that same feeling, or have you gotten a bit of emotional distance from it?
I think there is emotional distance, but there is, it's quite an experience for me actually. Like, so when if you come to a Sam Brooks show, you know, I might play songs from my first album, second album, third album, and the Super Lung stuff that kind of suits that environment as a solo singer-songwriter. And I definitely still access all of those feelings, but with a little bit of distance, for sure. Like when you're kind of in amongst those... I don't really know how to describe it, to be honest, apart from... it's very moving for me to kind of switch between those songs and then into the kind of more joyful stuff. But I really love it. I love that I can actually have that, that I can put together a group of songs and hopefully share those feelings with people.
Well, speaking of putting together a group of songs, when you're playing something like Cornstalk, where not necessarily everyone knows you and they're coming for Gary's kind of like big party.
Yeah.
How do you kind of design a set that gives people the Sam Brooks experience?
That's a good question. I mean, I like to give everybody as much of me as I can. So I will take them on a journey. You know, I won't kind of just think, oh, here's a party. Let's like play all the... I mean, I don't think I've got an hour and a half's worth of party tunes. But I do think about taking people on a kind of an emotional journey because I have those feelings and it's sort of, I was talking to my wife actually about how like, I've got a few songs that I feel like are kind of palate cleansers. So if I do go to a kind of a deep place with a tune, there's a couple of songs which are, yeah, there's no two ways about it. It's, I completely forget about where I am and I'm definitely going through some deep traverses to kind of conjure up those songs. But then I might play something just to kind of chill everybody out and just sort of settle everybody before going on to the next, you know. I love film as well. So it's not that I think about this necessarily when I'm writing a set list, but I love great films where you are being taken on a journey and you don't really know quite where you're going, but then it lands you in a place, you know, and you can just get swept away with it.
Like a third act resolution, you know, you're going to kind of like land the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you played some live tracks for us. Maybe to give folks a taste of the recorded stuff, you brought some CDs. Do you want to pick a track that we can play for listeners?
Yeah. Why don't we play, Wreck My Body?
Why are you picking that one?
Because I think this was the song that when I made the demo for it, I knew that I was onto something quite different from my solo stuff. It was the first track we released, actually, of the new material. And sonically, emotionally, and it's super fun. It's a great track. Yeah.
Right on. Well, Sam, thanks for coming in, playing some tunes, and sitting down for a chat. Playing Cornstalk on Sunday.
Yes.
I'll link to the show tickets in the show notes for the show.
Yep.
And folks can check you out live after hearing you live here at UMFM.
Yes, mate. Thanks for having me.
Alive, alive.
Thank God it's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, Supalung, Wreck My Body from I'm Alive. That's Sam Brooks's band and his choice. My thanks to Sam for coming in and playing some songs. Catch him at Cornstalk on Sunday. For more information and tickets, visit the show page on umfm.com. Coming up next, my interview with Wax Mannequin, who's at the Royal Albert on Thursday. Before we get to that, though, local act Ripping Hammer sent in their new tape, Ripping Hammer 3. I'm going to play you the track Apex Cuties.
Apex Cutie. Apex Cutie.
It confused me.
Apex Cutie.
On the floor. It confused me.
Mogadishu.
Fuck you.
Apex Cutie.
It confused me.
Mogadishu.
Fuck you.
Apex Cutie.
To get a snooze.
Confuse me,
Mogadishu.
Hold on, keep
out with you.
Apex Cutie.
All right, well, coming to the Royal Albert on August 22nd, Wax Mannequin playing in town with a host of local acts on the bill, but joining me on the phone right now. How's it going?
Really, really well. Really well. Michael, thanks for talking.
So it's been a minute since you've been to Winnipeg, right? I'm looking back in the my concert schedule Google search.
Yeah, been a couple. I mean, pre-pandemic, of course, and nice to be back. Been several minutes since I've played the Albert, though. I guess it was shut down for years. So neat that they've rejuvenated. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it was shut down for a brief while. It was like a restaurant, and then reopened as a bar once again, performing space. So yeah, no, I mean historic venue. lot of history in those walls. I think the bathroom at least has been renovated since then, though. In terms of like finding venues, like where you, do you look for specific kind of like things like that? Like, or how does like booking go about for you? Like, are you looking for cool places to play or just available venues on a specific date when you're in town?
My buddy Joey and I kind of tackle it together, and I actually did a house show in Winnipeg on the way out, and it was really, really wonderful. Rain Hamilton, Winnipeg artist, and my friend Nat set it up at their place. They kind of had a bit of a housewarming. The backyard was like this raised patio and made a perfect stage. Everyone kind of piled in, and we had a beautiful sunset-y sort of evening of it. So it's nice to get back to more of a rock club vibe, though. Certainly, it allows me to you know, play with the proper gusto. And I think, you know, I'm having a lot of fun on stage these days. I have my backing tracks and projections, and as often as possible, sort of collaborating with other musicians. And when I hit Tumblestone Festival north of Thunder Bay, there's going to be about a 5-piece backing me up. So, you know, it's nice to. Nice to get back on the road doing my solo show, but really push it to the limits in terms of what the kind of energy you can bring to a one-man party. Not one person, though. Of course, we're all going to be there. So
right. Does the like diversity of your styles allow you to play like different venues capably? Like, do you find that because you kind of are a little slippery when it comes to genre, it allows you kind of more access to different places?
It certainly does. I think. I mean, with this tour, with this record, there's one set that I'm trying to play. But in the past, I've been very, I've really benefited from that flexibility. And, you know, I like playing galleries and houses and things, as well as big festival stages and whatnot. And of course, yeah, I'll tailor the set to that. But, you know, it's a conceptual, high concept, high energy sort of rock show is what I enjoy doing the most. So, you know, the Albert, well, I think it's like, as you say, it's a historic venue. Only recently started doing shows again, but one of the first, probably the first place I played in town and stayed in town. I think I can remember just crashing through, not having a gig and saying, can I sleep upstairs? And they knew me and they said, yeah, go find a room. And there's just this dangerous party going on in every room. And I think I ended up curling up in a corner of one on the third story or something. I'm not sure if it's just as rough around the edges as it was, but it's certainly a storied place. I think I'd heard that the key to, let's say, it's probably not like this anymore, but like you get the key to 204, it will also open 304, you know, the floor above. So you never quite know what you're going to get.
True.
Now that's the old Albert. I don't know what it's all about now, but it seems like really on the up and up, and yet true to its punk rock roots.
You mentioned the record. Obviously, like did any songs come out of your experiences like playing something like the Albert? Like in the past, have you written songs coming out of specific venues that had like weird backstories, like the Albert's Keys situation or like scary parties?
Well, I mean, certainly touring a lot. I started playing really elaborate nylon string folk arrangements with these kind of psychedelic lyrics. And the more I toured, the more, I'd always have sort of a rock component or a more bombastic side to my music. And performing live, it just kind of leaned into more of a bit of an art punk thing over the years. A song like The End of Me, I guess, pays homage to different towns around the city and a certain extent, this little pub I used to play in St. John, New Brunswick. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot of it in there. A lot of it makes its way into songs. Some not quite obvious. I think some of my lyrics are open to interpretation, and I like it that way. But yeah, I mean, you might listening back to some of my tunes, you might hear familiar cadences, familiar references, if you followed me long enough to certain venues and certain cities that in certain times we've had in years past. So one of the things that keeps me going, just catching up with everyone I've met. It's hard to fathom when I get to a town and things have been turned inside out and people are older, but it feels like it's been, as you say, a minute. It's one of the things that keeps me going. It feels as though I'm living life and fast forward when I get to a town once every year, once every 2 years, and we pick it up where we left off.
So you're bringing the most recent record, The Red Brain.
Yeah.
Wondering if you can kind of talk about the genesis of that record, because I read a few things about kind of like specific songs, and one of them is, you know, pulled from your experiences as a teacher, that like you're drawing on kind of specific experiences in your life. Is that kind of like a collective of all different varying experiences, and that this album represents that?
I always felt like a bit of an outsider, I guess, especially in school. I do teach in schools sometimes, and I have appreciation for folks who maybe feel like they don't conventionally fit there. I think a lot of people get into music and the arts can relate. I guess thematically, the album keeps drifting back to the themes of neurology and having a unique neurology. And that was kind of the mandate going into this record. I wouldn't call it it's the closest thing to a concept record that I've made. And all of the songs sort of hang off of that central theme of outsidership. Ray Spoon runs Coke's Records. I don't know if you know Ray, but they've they've toured for years as well. And we collaborated sort of on some of the preliminary production stuff on this one before Ray had to bow out due to health reasons. Thankfully, Ray is back in action and is touring hard, almost as hard as ever now. So nice to have them back on the road. But that was sort of the impetus of the record for them. And then the pandemic hit. So we ended up, every musician's got their pandemic album story. And so this was mine. And there was a lot of recording in different parts of the country by different people, and weaving together the many tracks at the end of the thing in about the summer of when would it have been, winter 2021, flying out to Cumberland, BC, working with Corwin Fox during a lull in the pandemic. We managed to put the tie up a lot of the loose ends of the album, really considering how far flung a lot of the recording was done. People were recording separate tracks, and when I could, I'd be present, and or I'd just kind of use my input and, do some charts, and people would interpret that as they would, and put it all together. I think the time and the distance and the ability for us to listen back and reflect on things before committing it was really, really lent itself to the end production. I find that when I'm working in the studio, I love working in the studio directly with someone like Corin or Andy McGoffin or Phil Bova, but getting that situation where you kind of finish each other's conceptual sentences and things come together very quickly. So you're working sort of on a timeline then, and there's always this end date when the whole thing has to be done. I felt this album benefited from having it be a bit wide open. We didn't know if it could ever get done because of the state of the world, so we just chipped away at it until we felt we did what we set out to do, and there it is. So I'm pretty thrilled with it, but it's also pointing towards what I want to do next. So yeah, it's nice to be back at it.
You mentioned working with Corin, like having someone else in the studio. Is that just so that you can have like a conversation rather than a monologue when it comes to like working on a record? Like it's not just entirely what's happening in your head and what you're thinking about, but to have like someone to bounce things off of?
Yeah, when you're on the same wavelength, I find that there's this real synergy you can get into, and sharing ideas and knowing what is right for the record, and ultimately hopefully getting into this really egoless process where whether it's me or Corwin or whoever I'm working with has the good idea, we go with that. So it's my goal is to get a song that works for, that you get into this flow state and you know what it needs collectively, you know what the song needs collectively. And I work that way collaboratively with musicians too. I bring, you know, what I bring, ideas for bass, guitar, drums, you know, synth, whatever is going into the song. I have my ideas, but it's really important to me that my collaborators change it up and bring their influence to it. And when we're performing live, it's not going to sound exactly like the record. That's really important to me too. I want anyone who plays with me is going to play it differently than what's laid down on the record. I think that's part of the jam.
For sure. Now, the album's been out for a little bit. How's your relationship to it changed in the time that it's been out?
I still like it, so that's a good sign. I mean, usually by this point, I'd be sick of the tunes, so must be saying something that I still enjoy playing them, and I stand by all my records. I think I'm proud of all the work I've done, but, hopefully I keep getting better, so hopefully I keep putting every album I put out by that theory, be the best album I've ever done. So this album is in that tradition of the best work I've done. So it means I've still got it. Maybe I'll stop if I start getting lazy and if I start churning out stuff I'm not proud of, then maybe it's time to call it quits.
An internal litmus test of some sorts.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, Chris, I want to get you to pick a track off the record that we can play for listeners. If you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about it, we'd love to hear that.
I don't know. What kind of music do you usually feature on your show?
The show is kind of all over the place sonically, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I feel like the song Reasons doesn't get enough love. I'm proud of this tune. It's kind of in an odd time arrangement, so it's, you know, maybe not people's first go-to for like, you know, pop radio or whatever, but it's got a vibe. I think it came out the way I was hoping. There's Reasons. This is the song Red Brain, but it's really long, so maybe Reasons is the way to go.
Well, we'll go with the obvious, the not obvious or the not pop song. This is Campus Radio, of course. Wax Mannequin with Ugly Tea and the Unmentionables, Lockjaw and the Help Wanted's next Thursday, August 22nd at the Albert. Chris, thanks for taking some time and safe travels on the way to here.
Can't wait. Thanks for talking to me, Michael. See you then. We'll be right back.
crash down on me was the fight of my life. I close my eyes, I'd still beg for you from every faceless dive till I change your mind. I'd run wild for you, my feet don't leave the ground. Wherever you are, I'm falling apart. I want a new end and a different story arc. It breaks my heart, I was so far off. Go back to the start. Watching from the back of the room, but now it's true, and I can't quiet down, and I can't be subdued if I don't have you. Love can't touch me now, my feet don't leave the ground. Wherever you are, I'm falling apart. I want a new end and a different story arc. It breaks my heart, I was so far off. Go back to the start. You were the sky and I was a star. Thought no one could see me if they weren't looking hard. It breaks my heart, I was so far off. Here comes the darkness. All night the words don't come. Shut it down, I'll wait forever. I know my heart, but shut it down. If it's wrong,
Forever. That's Charlie Bliss with Here Comes the Darkness. Before that, Calgary's Small Pleasures with Careless, lead-off single to their new EP Limits. You heard Wax Mannequin with Reasons from the Red Brain. My thanks to Chris. Catch Wax Mannequin at the Albert next Thursday, August 22nd. Before we hand things over to After 8 Radio, we're going to get a few more tracks in here. Montreal band Fleece. Big fan of that band. We've played them, had them on in the past. They have a new single out called Where's My Beach Hat. We've got another Quebec band called Marie Celeste. We've got something from Cloud Cult and then a brand new single from Nubia Garcia. Can't wait for the full length. This one's called Set It Free. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
This. You've heard the tune. Je danse corps à corps avec les ombres qui habitent le salon. On se cogne la tête à pas connaître le rythme dénaturé des cathédrales du kérosène pour longtemps, madame. Oh, et d'un confort de courte pointe pour tenir la semaine. Il y avait la ville qui chante ses mille chantiers, ses fanfares de métro qui peuplaient mes angoisses, mes insomnies. Des nageuses nous cassent les oreilles. Danse au-dessus de nos têtes quand vient le sommeil.
Isn't right. Gonna hum myself to sleep again tonight. Gonna make up some jokes about my day. Make fun of all the things that didn't seem to go my way. Try to get a laugh out of the drama and the pain. Gonna make up some jokes about my day. Was it easier when we were kids?
something always in the way, and no one else sees the world the way you do. Today the universe woke up as you. Gonna draw myself a picture of the way things were. What is real and what is fantasy? Well, I really can't be sure. There's so much here to feel. Well, it's all just a blur. Gonna draw myself a picture of the way things were. Gonna bury all my hurt from the past. Push it deep down in the dirt. Grows like weeds and now it's panic attacks. Bury all my hurt from the past. Oh, was it easier when we were kids? Or was there something always in the way? And no one else sees the world the way you do. Today the skull-sized hell. There's something big inside of me cracking the heck out of my shell. So stop caring what they think, cause that has never done me well. Know that I am me and not the stories that you tell.
I'm not waiting, I'm not. apologies. Yeah, that talk is deep. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Truth is what I speak. And it's true that I am feeling myself. My surface really deep in my cells. I can't help it, I don't need to grow. Ease and more into the loop of life. Sailing sweet, it's a smoother ride. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing but ecstasy.